From the late 1920s to the 1930s, Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas played host to fellow American expatriate writers in their Paris home. Both women were gourmands. Toklas herself was a master in the kitchen, but they employed many cooks. Toklas wrote her first cookbook in 1954, at the time France was ending its 93-year occupation in Vietnam. The book included an advertisement she and Stein placed in a newspaper. Two American ladies wish to retain a cook. In the book, Toklas also named two of her Indo-Chinese cooks. This bit of detail is the inspiration for a new novel by Monique Truong called The Book of Salt. It's the story of Bin, a Vietnamese cook for the Stein-Toklas household in 1934 Paris. Truong, an intellectual property lawyer turned writer, explains how she made this discovery.
I was living in Berkeley for the summer of my junior year of college, and I have to admit I had no good intentions. I was trying to find the hashish brownie recipe that Toklas is so well known for. Well, after I found the recipe and found it completely not appealing, I read the rest of the book. And the book is just wonderful. It's very gossipy and chatty and really more of a memoir of Stein and Toklas' life together.
The discovery that two Indo-Chinese cooks had been employed by these famous ladies, why was that inspiring enough for you to begin to form an entire novel around it?
I think that for me, finding a reference to a Vietnamese person in Stein and Toklas' life was just amazing to me. And also to have someone who had such a sort of intimate look into their lives, as we know anyone who works within your domestic space would have. And the thing was, the way that Toklas wrote about this cook, there was a lot of affection towards him, but also there was a bit of condescension towards him as well. And he was, to me, left as sort of a caricature of a person. And I didn't want to leave him that way. I wanted to develop his story, or at least for me to understand his story in a fuller light.
A caricature of a person. Now, you are Vietnamese. You were born in Saigon in 1968, left when you were six in April 1975 as a refugee. Was it your experience that somehow figured into this creation of your character, or this desire to create a full character because perhaps you yourself identified with him as an outcast?
Well, certainly I strongly identify with him in the sense of a person being in exile, a person being far away from their country and their homeland. But, you know, Bin for me is sort of the really a what if. What if I had come over here at an older age, and what if the English language was not something that, you know, I felt comfortable within? What if I had to try to express my feelings and my emotions using just a couple of dozen English words, the way that Bin has only access to a couple of dozen French words?
Bin also leaves Vietnam at a time of peace. You had to leave at a time of war, which is a big contrast. Of course, you give reasons why Bin left, not the least of which is he is a homosexual and rejected by his father, who is not really his father. We learn later he has another father, but he is rejected by his society.
One of the questions that I really wanted to answer for myself when I was writing this book was, what would make a person leave their country and their family behind if not for war? Certainly in my own life, that decision was made by my parents. And while it wasn't a simple decision, the context of war made it very straightforward. And Bin does not live in a time of open military conflict. So I imagine that for a person to set his body into the sea, as Bin would say, then the conflict must have come from within the family.
I'd like you to read a passage from the book. It's on page 150. Ben has taken a lover. He calls him the Sweet Sunday Man. He's an American. Ben has told him the story of one of Gertrude Stein's cupboards in which manuscripts are kept. And this is just a small scene that happens at one of the teas. If you would just start with, "Today's tea is like all the others."
Okay. "Today's tea is like all the others. At 27 Rue de Flores, even the furniture attracts more attention than I do. That cupboard is getting glances from all directions. Light from some unseen source is licking at its dark wood, sticking to it like wet varnish. Being at the center of attention can make anything glow, I think. Ah, I should have known. Sweet Sunday Man liked my story about the cupboard. He liked it so much that he repeated it to everyone in the studio, from what I can see. Sweet Sunday Man, there is a fire at 27 Rue de Flores. When you and the other guests show up for Saturday tea and see the flames, do you rush in to save my madames, the contents of their cupboard, or their cook? The correct answer is Basket and Pepe. My madam and madam, as everyone knows, can take care of themselves. The cupboard also needs no assistance, because Miss Toklas would run back into the burning apartment until every sheet of paper touched by Gertrude Stein was safe in her arms. As for the cook, the assembled guests would scratch their heads and ask, 'The Steins have a cook?'"
That one line, "the Steins have a cook," really underlines Ben's invisibility. The correct answer, who would you save? Basket and Pepe. They're the two dogs that are owned by Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas. So I think that really underlines the sense that he has of being no one, being invisible.
Certainly. those two dogs are really... they occupy a position within thy household that is so much higher than Ben. And he is constantly aware of it, constantly in a sort of a state of heartbreak over it.
You introduce a character, someone Ben calls the man on the bridge. And later you reveal his name, Nguyen Ai Wuk.
That's good.
This is a pseudonym for Ho Chi Minh when he was in Paris in 1927. He was a cook. He was an assistant baker of pies at the Carlton Hotel in London under the famous Auguste Escoffier. Why include this guy?
When I first started writing this story, information about Stein and Toklas was very easy to obtain. But research that I had to do about a man like this cook, a laborer, was actually very hard for me to find. And a friend of mine who's a writer read my piece and said, "Do you know that Ho Chi Minh was also a cook when he was living in Europe?" And I had no idea, actually. And so I started to do research on Ho Chi Minh. And so I actually pulled a lot of biographical information about him and applied it to my cook. For example, the way that Ben the cook gets from Saigon to Marseille is by working as a mess boy on a freighter. And that's how Ho Chi Minh came to Europe as well. I suppose part of the reason is that I felt like I had put so much of this man already into the book that I wanted my cook and Nguyen Ai Wuk to meet.
Have you been back to Vietnam?
No, I have not.
Do you wish to?
I haven't been back since I left in 1975.
Do you have any desire to?
Absolutely. There's a desire and there's also obviously an apprehension. Because I suppose for me, just like Ben, the past is in a way a fantasy. And often it's easier to deal with it in that way.
Monique Trung's new novel, The Book of Salt, is published by Houghton Mifflin. She joined us from the studios of KUOW in Seattle. Thank you very much.
Thank you.